Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. SmackDown just ended 2 seconds ago. It is Tuesday, August 23rd, 2016. We are live at PWTorchLivecast.com. Thanks for joining me today if you're listening live, and thank you for listening to us on demand, either at PWTorchLivecast.com or iTunes or your favorite popular podcast app. Heck, maybe some of you are using even an unpopular podcast app. And we welcome you and thank you for listening also. So thanks for your support. I am now hosting Raw and SmackDown postgame shows every Monday and Tuesday as soon as the show goes off the air. So when you're watching the show live, click over to pwtorchlivecast.com and join me live and participate in a discussion, phone calls, talking about the show as soon as it goes off the air. I will probably most of the time have a guest co-host. Yesterday, James Caldwell handed over the hosting duties to me for the Raw postgame show after years of hosting it himself. He was my guest co-host. And today, Bruce Mitchell is scheduled to join me. I just told him the wrong number to call. See, I deserve that. 9345 is the final number. All right, so Bruce will be joining us. I screwed up. All right, we have a new phone number. Speaking of which, 515-605-9345. That number is on the streaming page. So if you are streaming the show from your web browser, it is 515-605-9345. You should be able to see that number on your screen. All right, Bruce Mitchell joining me momentarily. Some interesting talking points coming out of SmackDown tonight. Randy Orton came out to the ring at the top of the second hour and addressed the Brock Lesnar match. And just said he survived. It was a fight, and they'll cross paths again someday. And then Bray Wyatt interrupted and talked about how Randy showed he is only a man, and whereas he, Bray, is a god, and men die, they can bleed to death, gods don't. And then the lights flickered, and when they came back on, Bray was gone, but the rocking chair was still rocking at ringside. So they just transitioned quickly away from Orton Lesnar into Orton versus Bray. And we saw the groundwork being laid for that at least last week. So no surprise there. JBL just sold it as, hey, Brock's the greatest combat athlete in the history of this country. And Randy put a fight up, looked like he was going to win, but in the end, Brock did. And they're just kind of transitioning to post-Brock for Randy, other than Randy saying maybe they will cross paths again someday, he said. We'll see if they do. The other big thing regarding that situation is Shane McMahon was asked backstage about whether Stephanie will punish Brock. He said, no, Stephanie is not taking it seriously. He heard she only fined Brock $500. And that's proof that she is not taking that situation seriously. But he said he'll find a way to take care of it himself. So does that mean Shane versus Brock, as I fear? Or does that mean Shane finds somebody who he believes can take on Brock? That's one of the big questions coming out of the show. Let's welcome my co-host on today's program, Bruce Mitchell, Torch senior columnist. Are we at 26 years now, Bruce, this coming month?
Yeah, I believe that's right. September. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
And as James Caldwell,
that's a common law marriage. It's like a common law marriage. I get half of what you have.
As long as I don't get half of what you have, that might be fair.
Isn't that the truth? Oh man! Oh god, that's horrible.
James Caldwell pointed out yesterday on the
You know what? Like,
okay, go ahead. I see how it's going to be.
I was just going to say that SmackDown went off, and so, what am I supposed to do? There's no wrestling on. Well, I mean, I guess I could go to get some streaming wrestling.
Well, actually, Talking Smack, our competitor, Talking Smack, is on right now on WWE Network.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll be back.
Yeah. Bruce, thank you so much for joining me today. I'll try a third time here. What?
All right. Call me below.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try a third time here. James Calder pointed out yesterday, although it's so old now, it's sort of like when I was trying to point out that question on the roundtable, and by the time you were done interrupting and talking about it, it was like, what's the point? So I'm just going to drop it. Let's go on to things that are more interesting to our
listeners. No, you can't. What did James Caldwell say yesterday? You're killing me. Come on.
Oh, no, no, no. The time has passed. What you said was more important, obviously. so my question to you, Bruce. I want to get smacked on. We joked around enough.
Okay.
The follow-up with Randy Orton and Brock. I haven't talked to you since Raw last night. So you can kind of incorporate that into it a bit. But on tonight's show, as I said during the intro, Randy addressed it and transitioned to Bray Wyatt. Shane addressed it and said, if Steph won't take care of it, he'll find a way to do so. What do you think of their follow-up?
I thought it was terrible. I thought last night they should have been talking about how brutal and how injured Randy Orton was. I don't think he should have been on the show tonight. I didn't think that Shane McMahon should be on the show tonight. I didn't think they gave it. After doing that, as brutal a thing as I would say the most brutal incident in WWF history, going back to Buddy Rogers. I really would.
Yep.
And everything that they did to do that, hard way blood, cracking down with that elbow as hard as he did. He went too hard. 10 stitches and. 10 stitches in Randy Orton's head, going against, years and years of tradition of big shows and how they end, blood all over the place, a really violent scene, fans upset, people not sure how to take it, and they got what they wanted. I mean, they took a big risk and they got what they wanted, and then it was just like another, here's some highlights. If you don't have a WWE Network, I'll put them in black and white. And the announcers acted like it was another show, another thing. They couldn't even get their stuff together to suspend them. A $500 fine. It's a joke. It's ha ha because Stephanie's a heel and she doesn't like her brother. So she really, she really is glad that he cracked him in the head because none of this is, you're trying to make, you did something to make people doubt Brock Lesnar enough to make money with. Doubt that he's a phony and a fake enough to make some money with him. And then you go back to the same type of show and Randy Orton, I thought Randy Orton kind of blew it off. So, I didn't like any of this.
Yeah. I was
surprised.
I think when you do an angle that to that level and the crowd reaction that they put together a nice video on it. And the show and the crowd reaction was sort of like Undertaker losing at WrestleMania. They had these looks of shock on the fans' faces. And they didn't get to it till 55 minutes into the program. They opened up with the new title belt. Well, no, they opened up with one of my least favorite wrestling scenes I can remember. With, a guy, and I'm going to rant on this on the Keller Hotline as soon as we finish up here, but, a guy in a sheet mask and Baron Corbin just chatting with two other baby faces in the locker room when AJ comes in, and then they pan over and there's Dolph Ziggler crying. It felt like community theater, and it was just a joke. I hated that opening segment. It represented so many things, I think, that are wrong with WWE's tone. A lot of things on the show were good. That opening scene wasn't. But yeah, they do that, and I know they like to turn the page to the next thing. What are we going to make money on next? Let's not dwell backwards too much. The problem is, if you don't lead with one of your top stars, Randy Orton, taking a beating, and yes, your commissioner, a mere mortal, I would argue, despite how he was portrayed in that Undertaker match, getting F5'd, and you don't talk about it for 55 minutes, Bruce, you undo the emotions that people had Sunday, including those those crowd reactions. You undo it. You define it down as, well, we'll get around to it. I really disagree with the way that the show was organized and formatted. Besides the content itself.
And it was last night, too. Not making this really a primary, something really primary. You can write him out. You can say we'll never have that. We'll never have this guy again. There's all kinds of ways you can write him out and give it the importance that it warranted. But they just didn't do any of it. They let you know about it, but I just
all right. So,
you know, Shane McMahon coming out and dancing backwards, I was just like, oh.
I know. I don't know what, I mean, I think that was probably my least favorite part of the show, is Shane not selling what happened to him on Sunday. I mean, there were, you know, two or three candidates for things that was irked by on this show. I mean, I keep it in perspective. It's a wrestling show. But, you know, our job's to comment on it and react to what we don't think they do well and praise what they do do well. And, yeah, I was irked by that opening cartoonish scene. It was like Saturday Night Live doing a spoof of pro wrestling. And it just, I mean, to open up with a guy in a sheet mask talking to Baron Corbin, and AJ doing, you know, just kind of corny ha-ha-ha type stuff at the beginning, bragging, when you have this anticipation built up for how is Shane? Is he okay? His tweet was terrible, too, because it was so understated, you know? And then what's up with Randy? I mean, they should have led with that. It should have been the lead story. They shouldn't have buried the lead. But we made our point of that. Bruce, I know your time is limited tonight, so I want to cut to our first break. We got to hit our first hard break here. We'll come back and start taking calls, and you can react to a few callers before you have to go, okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. I am Wade Keller, editor, publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, and PWTorch.com, and as you just heard, also MMATorch.com. And I am also hosting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday's episodes of the PW Torch livecast each week with a great rotation and array of co-hosts. James Caldwell yesterday, reacting to Raw. Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell today. Bruce, are you and Travis going to be together finally on Friday? Oh, I muted Bruce. Okay, I get fined $500. I get fined $501 for having Bruce on hold when I tried to throw to him. I'm finding myself more than Stephanie fined Brock Lesnar. Bruce, Friday night, 7 Eastern.
Yeah, you pay yourself, so you're not finding anything. You're just taking $501 and giving it back and putting it back in the account.
Don't say that.
That's not right.
All right. So will you and Travis be back together again on Friday night?
I don't believe so. I think Travis is moving to Austin, Texas.
Oh,
so, I think, anyway, I'll have somebody. Rich from Pittsburgh, Richard Fenn, did a great job.
He's good.
Friday, like, you know, Travis should be worried. And but I don't. He's not
Tony
available.
Schiavone.
He's not available.
Tony Schiavone.
Either, so we'll have some.
It's the Tony Schiavone lesson.
Exactly.
All right. So Bruce
Wally
Mitchell
Tiff,
hosting.
Wally Tiff is here.
Bruce Mitchell hosting Friday with a special co-host. Between then and now, tomorrow, 1 Eastern. Sean Radican, longtime Torch columnist, will be my co-host on the Midweek Flagship, where we talk about more than just Raw and SmackDown. And we're going to talk with Sean about Evolve, Cody Rhodes' debut, Cruiserweight Classic, WWE signing a lot of indie stars. We'll get some insight from him tomorrow on, because he's really plugged in to a lot of things going on in pro wrestling. And, I mean, every day I get tweets from him about things he's hearing that turn out to be true a week or a day later. And so we're going to talk about the signings at WWE.
Wait a minute. Sean Radican, it was true when Sean Radican told you. It didn't turn out to be true a day later. His truth was ahead of the truth you heard a day later.
Yes, we find out that what he says is going to happen does happen, because he hears about it before anyone else a lot of the time these days. So
there you are. That's the
yes.
Point.
So he. So he'll be on tomorrow, and we're going to talk about wrestlers from the indie scene who are being signed, who aren't being signed, and why. He has followed the careers of so many wrestlers right now from their beginnings, up close, and in Ring of Honor, and Evolve, and Dragon Gate. And we're going to talk about this new generation of wrestlers who are moving up to national acclaim and prominent positions. And so that'll be part of the conversation. We welcome your phone calls, and it's open phone lines. We'll talk about NXT TakeOver also tomorrow. So join us 1 Eastern, Sean Radican, this week's guest co-host. And then Thursday, Sean X-Pac Waltman, scheduled to be my guest on Interview Thursday. Again, that's at 1 Eastern. Jim Valley this Saturday, Bruce, has superstar Bill Dundee as his guest at 11:30 Eastern, the Saturday morning wrestling version of the PW Torch livecast. So really good week of free shows. All of these shows are posted on our VIP audio feed all the time, right after the shows go off the air, or shortly thereafter, with all the ads taken out. So if you're looking for a more efficient way to listen to the live cast and support us, one of the perks, one of many that come with a VIP membership, is ad-free versions of the live cast. Let's go to some calls, and we'll begin with area code 727. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, yes, this is Carrie, and I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Carrie, thanks for calling. What have you got for Bruce and me?
Yeah, I got three things. The first thing is I'm a huge Dean Ambrose fan, and I am glad they are finally going to do a AJ Styles Dean program. Now, do you think necessarily that AJ should win at Backlash, though, or if the first one should go to Dean?
Ooh, good question. Bruce.
That's my...
Yeah, well, can you hold on? We'll do one at a time. Sure. Bruce,
yeah.
We didn't talk about it yet. We're focused on Lesnar Orton for the most part. The AJ Styles beat Dolph Ziggler in the main event. He gets a one-on-one match. He was guaranteed to get a title shot against Dean, but he gets a one-on-one match because he beat Ziggler. Had Ziggler beat Styles, it would have been a triple threat. So Styles, Dean, Backlash, title on the line. Yeah, Kerry's got a good question. Should AJ win right away, or should this be a longer-term program before AJ gets that win?
Well, I think it depends on what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler. I think Dolph Ziggler is still involved. You know, Dolph Ziggler frustrated. I didn't even like this. I mean, as far as I don't know why you couldn't just do the obvious thing, which was actually I do know because Ziggler. I take it back. Ziggler is losing all the time. I don't know that he should have even been in this match. As far as like getting a title shot, it just should have been a grudge match.
But he's sad.
Frustrated.
Shane wants to bring smiles to people's faces.
Yeah,
Ziggler was sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then you're losing your matches. You don't get any matches for a while. So until your smiles, until your frowns turned upside down. Yeah. Well, that's true. He did come close. But clearly there's a place where Dolph Ziggler snaps. And so maybe that figures into the finish of the first match between Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately AJ gets the title, and then Dean Ambrose gets some rematches, and then goes to do something else, I'm thinking. But yeah, so it depends on that. If they don't want Ziggler involved with the top two, then I think that AJ wins right off the bat. But if they do, then you can stretch it out some.
I think Ziggler probably, the way they're portraying him as if he's losing it a little bit. He's a bit of a spaz these days, and so I think that eventually, yeah, he probably. I mean, I assume he turns heel and then feuds with Dean, maybe again with Ziggler as a heel. Otherwise, I mean, because if they keep Ziggler a babyface, I don't know how he can earn a title shot against AJ with all the losses he's had. So, but as far as the actual, yeah, I mean, it depends on a lot of factors, Kerry, but I would say that right now, I think the momentum is on AJ's side beating Cena. I think that's a big win. They've portrayed it as such. I vote for AJ getting the win right away against Dean and building the SmackDown brand against AJ being the best wrestler on the planet and an obnoxious heel at that. So, he knows he's good and he rubs it in people's faces, and that's why a lot of the fan base boos him. I think they just go with it, and I think Dean is better off second from the top in more of a personal grudge than dragging out AJ, what I hope is an eventual title win. Go ahead, Kerry.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I can see that. And being a Dean fan, I mean, if he's going to drop the belt to anybody, AJ is more than deserving to get the belt. I mean, he is literally the top player on SmackDown.
And he's not just good in the ring. I mean his character has been so good lately, too. He's got as Steve Austin said, by the way, real quick plug, I was on the Steve Austin show. We talked for 2 hours, about 10 minutes or so of that got knocked off due to technical problems. But the nearly 2 hours of conversation about mostly SummerSlam, and he was talking about that swagger that AJ Styles has, and he really does. So everyone, go check it out, Steve Austin Show Podcast 1. I'm Steve's guest talking about SummerSlam this week.
Yeah, I agree. I listened to it today. It was very good.
Oh, good.
Really interesting. His comments on Seth Rollins were interesting, and I wanted to hear what he had to say about Brock Wilson and that elbow, and that was something. So, yeah, good show. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, so go ahead, Kerry.
My second thing was actually about Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance, maybe since I don't know who The Miz is going to go up against. Do you think maybe he takes a step back and goes for the Intercontinental title? Because I just don't know who The Miz is. I hope it's not Apollo Crews again, to be honest. They need to build Apollo Crews' character instead of just smiling all the time.
You know, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, nobody jumps out to me right now as, this comes down, you know, this is where the roster split, you know, the first month or two, it's going to be better than the next month or two if WWE doesn't do their job and lay the groundwork that some of these undercard wrestlers or mid-card wrestlers are on hot streaks. You know, you build that momentum for somebody a little bit off the radar so that fans feel like they're justified in moving up the card and facing somebody like Ziggler, a former number one contender. If Ziggler's still a babyface, I mean, yeah, I could see a Miz feud. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. Bruce, any quick thought on that?
I agree with caller about Cruz. I think you're right, Wade.
All right, cool. What's your third item, Kerry?
Once again, Heath Slater, probably one of the best things about tonight. I just love what they're doing with the whole free agent thing. And I was actually hoping that he was going to team with Apollo, so maybe Apollo could get a chance to, work a mic or something. But Rhino's a good choice, too. Do you see them going to Backlash or getting upset in the semifinals to America Alpha or the Usos? Because I think that's going to be the finals. But I don't know. I like Heath Slater, so that's my last question. Thank you.
Absolutely. Good topics here. I appreciate you calling. Bruce, I think they have a problem here, because if they have a conundrum, let's call it that. American Alpha should win this tag team tournament. You want them to come in, and sometimes you just shoot someone to the top, and you don't mess around. I think that's probably their characters should be shot to the top, and they should be the standard bearer of tag teams. But so that would then extend the storyline with Ziggler and Rhino, because Shane and Brian said if they don't win the tournament, then Ziggler doesn't get a contract. So, I mean, when he first said that, I thought, oh, well, Slater and whoever his partner are going to win the tag titles. But then I thought, no. I mean, there's American Alpha. I don't see a credible... out here, Bruce, would be if the Usos turn heel and cost American Alpha the match against Slater and Rhino, then Slater and Rhino could beat the Usos in the finals. And then the Usos could eventually beat Slater and Rhino after Heath gets his contract, and then American Alpha then take on the Usos in a full-fledged shoot. I mean, I guess there's kind of a winding road to get to where you want to go. Your thoughts on that situation that they developed with Heath Slater tonight?
I want to end with something about Heath Slater, but I really think where this is going is Usos turn heel on American Alpha in the end in the final match, and then American Alpha chase the Usos, and I think that's where it ought to go. I think Heath Slater and Rhino lose, and then this, Rhino's still under contract, and whatever this is with Heath Slater keeps going. I hated how they used Heath Slater in the beginning of the show. And for this reason, Heath Slater came out. Right now, maybe the crowd gets with him. I've really never seen the loser gimmick work, but he's got something. He's charismatic. He's about the best guy I've ever seen do it. But he's also working off of years and years of being enhancement talent and being a stooge for everybody else. But anyway, what I hated about this was you've got the new SmackDown Women's Championship. You've got the new SmackDown Tag Team Championship. You've got that ridiculous everybody in the ring stuff, including, I was so embarrassed, six women is all they have in their division, and they're going to have a championship. But anyway, what I really hated was Heath Slater comes out and does that comedy stuff. Does that, and I'm trying to get in, I'm not a woman. It's cute, it's funny, it's entertaining, all that stuff. But you introducing two brand new championships, you got the belt sitting right there, something that you're going to try to, try at least, have some main events with, and at least it's going to be important in the mid-card.
And you've got the opening match guy. He's more important than those championships. He's more important than what Daniel Bryan is saying. He's more important. You know, what happens with Heath Slater is more important than any of them. And, I like to laugh. Comedy's comedy. It's great. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but it's not helping them do what they need to do. And I just thought, you have like one serious thing at the end of the show, this match, and you're just like, well, I mean, it was a really good match, and people weren't really into it. I'm sure they're tired of watching all this wrestling from WWE, but I think, I just think it's like the comedy came first, and it shouldn't have. It wasn't the place for Heath Slater.
All right, very good. Let's go to our next call, and we'll go to area code 813. You're up next, 813. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys, Jay from Tampa.
Hey, Jay, what do you got for us?
Hey, first of all, Bruce, you said what we're going to do now that wrestling's over. Obviously, we watch Christy Knows Best, right?
Absolutely.
At any rate, I wanted to talk about the narrative structure. Going back to Raw real quick, at least one thing I would say SmackDown did better tonight than Raw last night that really got under my skin is if we're going to have a vacant belt, I much rather have some type of a tournament set up random or either in maybe even a rumble if it's not too corny. But with Raw, it's like kind of like you said on the hotline way where what's the structure? Who picks? Do you just have to hit your music and come out
yes.
and you're already going to be a contender?
Yes.
Why we didn't know that, a big cat, why Enzo is not a number one contender?
I know.
What makes cats? Because he's 7 foot tall and you
can't teach that.
Yep. Versus at least tonight with SmackDown, it's almost like that's all of the roster that comes out. So if you take the roster that comes out and say, hey, these are all the women and these are all the tag teams. Now at least there's a stroke. It makes sense because I was like, well, hit my music, last night. let me get in.
Yeah.
So many people that. And my second question is unfortunately, is Sami Zayn the Dolph Ziggler of Raw at this point? He lose, but he's a number one contender.
Bruce, they do have a – thanks, Jay. Really appreciate the question and the comments there. I mean, he's on. I thought – and I mentioned this on the VIP Wade Keller Hotline last night. By the way, I'll be doing a VIP Wade Keller Hotline on this SmackDown, running down the show in case you missed it or you want to hear what I think about everything, big and small, big segments, little segments. I'll do a full detailed rundown of SmackDown and also cover some of the news for VIP members right after we go off the air here on the live cast. Bruce, yeah, the idea that the people who happened to come out to the ring were deemed number one contenders and worthy of champion last night by Mick Foley was cheesy. I give them a tiny bit of slack in the sense that when you have Finn Balor, who, by the way, just tweeted a picture of himself in the hospital post-surgery with an ice pack on his shoulder, I give them a little bit of slack in that they're sort of like, oh, crap, this happened. Let's just get to the next stage quickly. When I say a little bit of slack, I mean a little, because there's 18 better ways to do it than to have it just be whoever comes out to their music. I thought that wasn't sports-like. It was happenstance. It was cheesy. And I just think WWE doesn't gain anything from that. So don't do it. Make it more sports-like and do it differently so that it makes a little more sense. Bruce.
Yeah, this is even more simple. Just pick the top two contenders and come up with a reason, come up with enough of a reason that we can accept it and really do make it the top two people that fans want to see in the match, not all this, all this rigmarole just to give time. And we just saw it on SmackDown. And correct me if I'm wrong, Wade, but you've looked at the numbers. A lot of the people that watch Raw also watch SmackDown. Not all of them.
Yeah.
And they just saw this. So, they went and did,
right.
Just a panic mode, and they went and did the same Fatal 4-Way, I think this is the third time we've seen it in a month, and they need to knock it off. It's just go ahead and do it, and let the rest of the show be whatever it was they were going to do in the first place. I mean, as far as just the wrestling matches go, and Cass, I know they want him to have that experience, but they haven't set him up to have that experience.
They just, you know, I mean, it was, I laughed when Kevin Owens said, what about, why is he in it, looking at Enzo, but why is Cass in it either? They just lost, and he's a tag team wrestler.
I know.
You know, I mean, Owens was right, and the heel shouldn't be right.
Yeah.
You know, just wait for Cass, you know, wait for Cass later on, so.
Bruce, what do you have in store for VIP members as far as your weekly newsletter exclusive column? What's your topic this week?
It's going to be, how can I say this? You never asked me this, and I really don't.
I've never done a show on Tuesday night on your deadline before with you.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And I'm not meeting the deadline tonight, so just so you know. Anyway, it's going to be about about Revival and NXT and how well they did and what that says about everybody else, including some of what Steve Austin said about Seth Rollins, how other heels can present themselves and be more, and you use the word efficient. I think that's a good word for it, but also be more effective in being heels.
Yeah.
And be more disciplined in being heels. And I think there was really, you know, the fact that they were able to, you know, turn a very a crowd that's a lot of our clientele, and get them to hate them. I think with some of those things you can still use that the psychology where people are mad before they even thought about it. And that's what, you know, the human nature comes into play. And that's what I just thought that was really interesting, is how they did. So I don't know, hopefully it'll be at least as well thought out as what I just said.
It'll be a little more eloquent in print. I put you on the spot a little bit. One of the great perks of being a PW Torch VIP member is Bruce Mitchell's weekly columns. And once you get a flavor for Bruce's writing, and I mean, he's been writing columns since 1990 for Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. Once you get a flavor for him, you're probably going to want to go into the archives and read what he's written about some of the bigger stories in wrestling's recent past and going back 25, 26 years. There's a whole library of Bruce's work, and if there's one writer in wrestling the past decade, two and a half decades, who's worth binge reading to learn about the industry and look at it through a really smart lens, then a really good writer, it's Bruce Mitchell. So I encourage VIP members to dive into the Bruce Mitchell Library. And if you go VIP, it definitely go out of your way to read Bruce's work. It is generally all VIP exclusive. There's not much of Bruce's writing that we put up on the free page because he, as Mark Madden has said, is a stone cutter. Bruce, you're not the most prolific writer in that, oh, Bruce, I want you to write three columns per week. And you'd be like, all right, I'm going to quit my job, my other job. So we get one column from you per week, but it's a good one, and it's one of the centerpieces of our VIP exclusive articles that come with the membership. Bruce, do you have to go, or do you want to stay around for one or two more calls?
After you did that, I can stay around for one or two more calls. And also, I feel terrible about just giving you a hard time all during the show.
I do this all the time when you're not on the show. It's just so, this is like, it's nice for you to be here to hear it.
It's only the shows you
don't listen to, though. It's only the ones you don't get around to hearing. Yeah, exactly. All right, real quick. Our longtime sponsor of the show throughout all of 2016 has been Loot Crate. And they have a new product that we're introducing on this show, right here, right now, for the first time, called WWE Slam Crate. And this gives you an opportunity to subscribe on a bi-monthly basis to a mystery subscription crate every other month. And WWE is saying that they're going to give you $50 of content for $29.99 per crate. And you can get details at lootcrate.com. And then just choose from the menu, from the pick a crate menu, slide down. The last option is WWE Slam Crate. There's a lot of crates by theme now. They've really expanded since earlier this year in terms of all the options that are out there. If you don't want WWE gear or you already bought it and you've got all you need because you bought it through another means, they have Halo Legendary Crate, Firefly, Lootware, Loot Pets, which is the one I'm tempted to get. That's actually pretty cool that every month you'd get a crate with cool stuff for your dogs and cats. Loot Gaming, Loot Anime, Loot Crate DX. I do not believe that's related to Degeneration X, I'm pretty sure. The generic loot crate, it's a mystery theme each month. They also have some limited edition crates that are available, I believe, on demand for Star Wars, Call of Duty, Gears of War, and for fangirls. So it's really cool. Go check out the website, and you can choose WWE Slam Crate for $29.99 every other month, or one of the other crates. And here's a cool part. You save $3 if you enter coupon code PWTORCH at checkout. And it's cool, too. They've got unboxing videos, and you can see examples of other crates. It's really fun. One of the pitches that they give sponsors to read is they say that Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. And it's more than a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans who share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. And I agree. I mean, that's the feedback we've gotten is that's the case. They've got a really nice website. I think they're doing what they do really well, and I recommend you go check it out. It's lootcrate.com, and use that coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 on any new subscription. All right, Bruce is still with us. Let's go to our next call. I don't want everyone to drop off when I say this. We're not going to have time to get to everybody. We have over 15 people on hold right now. This new post-SmackDown thing's working out pretty well. We're just going to kind of pick some random phone numbers here and get to who we can in our final minutes in this hour. We'll go next to area code 202. 202, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, Wade? This is Anthony from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Anthony, what have you got for us?
Okay, talk about the show a little bit tonight. The thing I noticed, if you pay attention, Daniel Bryan, I don't know how they have him written into the show nowadays, but he seems to be, I don't know, he's still bitter because he's not wrestling anymore, but like about maybe like 20 minutes ago on that little after show that he does, he basically went off on The Miz and stuff and called him a cowardly wrestler. He says he wrestles like how a lot of indie guys think a lot of WWE wrestlers are. They wrestle soft and stuff. They don't wrestle hard enough. And I don't know if it's like a shoot thing going on now, or is this a thing that they bring into the WWE now, more shoot type of promos and stuff now?
I guess I would have to see it since we've been doing a show. And Anthony, how dare you listen to another show while we're on the air? I think it's probably worth you watching also, even though we're on the air opposite of it this week, because a lot of people are commenting on this post SmackDown show that they're doing and the tone that they're taking with it. Again, I'd have to see the Daniel Bryan delivery of that message that Anthony brings up, but I think you can walk a I think there's a way to walk a line and have it be interpreted two different ways, and I would trust Daniel Bryan to be able to pull that off based on his work on the Cruiserweight Classic, for instance, and how he can bring such a sports-like vibe to things. But yeah, Anthony has me curious to see what he said and see the context. Your thoughts on that, and maybe even in a broader term, the post-shows sticking within the narrative structure and having a babyface like Daniel Bryan critique Miz's in-ring style. I mean, to me, that fits a kayfabe approach, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you serve the storyline first, and then you can use reality, the truth, to serve the storyline, and you can work on two levels, and the fans that get it on one level like it, and the fans that get it on two levels, really. I think Daniel Bryan is more heartbroken than bitter, but yeah. I mean, it's whatever term you want to use. But I did notice, like, on the show tonight, it just seemed like he kind of went through the motions a little bit and in the ring and doing it. And he wasn't getting the huge reaction. I think they've got to, like, connect people back to Daniel Bryan more strongly. I have no problem with them calling Miz a cowardly wrestler just because that character is a delusional, narcissist who, when push comes to shove, can be coward. So I've got, I don't have any real problem with that. It'd be interesting, I do want to see what Anthony was talking about, though, because I want to see how much emphasis he put on the style as compared to indie wrestlers. In other words, is he trying to make a point that Miz wrestles in a soft way, that he needs to be, laying it in more, kind of what Austin was talking with you today about with some of the wrestlers on SummerSlam or the ones that were really doing, that he really liked. But I think they can do it both ways. And I think it's going to be a challenge on that show. And I've been hearing good things about that show too. For Daniel Bryan to come up with interesting content that doesn't go against what management wants. I think that's always a challenge.
Bruce, real quick, because I don't know if our next caller or two will get to it. Do you expect Shane McMahon to face Brock Lesnar, or do you expect Shane McMahon to hire someone to take on Brock Lesnar?
You know, I don't think we're going to know for months, and they could forget it. I hope they would forget it. But I think there's a possibility he'll face him, and there's a possibility that he'll bring someone in. If they've got somebody from the outside that will really make Shane McMahon look good, and it might be Nakamura, but if they've got somebody like that, you know, like that, that will really burnish his image, and then, you know, and then get off to a great start by wrestling Brock Lesnar right off the bat, I could see that. I don't think, I just really don't want to see Shane McMahon, and he's management. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do, because does he get killed? Because if Brock Lesnar beats the hell out of him and kills him, then he just kills McMahon.
Everything gets
shifted to that.
It's preposterous for Shane McMahon to think that he could fight Brock Lesnar. But it was also preposterous within the narrative, I would argue, and others have disagreed with me and they're wrong, that Shane McMahon could hold his own against Undertaker. Shane's management. He's a guy in his mid-40s. I know he wrestled Kurt Angle, and I know he, you know, had his matches and all. It was always ridiculous. He was the son of the promoter who got to have fantasy camp and steal everybody's moves and do a bunch of high spots and not sell and then go recover for 6 weeks while everyone else toiled on the road full-time to try to earn a fraction of what he earned for the one payday. And all that. I mean, I just narratively, it's annoying and obnoxious. It would be even more absurd for him to face Brock if they do the match, which is absurd. But the storyline could be Shane is delusional, and if they tell that story, then it's more forgivable. Brock should walk up to Shane, laugh, punch him in the face, and Shane should be knocked out. And Brock should put his finger on his chest, and the ref should count three, and the match should last 6 seconds. And that's the only way they can do that match. And then that's when Shane would bring a Nakamura or Samoa Joe. So, but yeah, that'd be preposterous.
Yeah, Joe would work in the same way if they did. If it was Shane went and got Joe, not
yeah.
Shane. And, you know, the one thing I can guarantee you is your most realistic depiction of a match with Shane McMahon and Brock Lesnar is the one that will never happen.
I know. I know. Exactly. We're going to go to next call in just a sec, super fast. Show support for us when you're thinking of shopping at Amazon. Go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the link to the country you're in, and that'll take you right to Amazon where you're headed anyway. Buy everything you're going to buy, and we get a cut, a commission, a finder's fee for mentioning them on this program. But the only way that we get a finder's fee and a commission is if you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. And if you haven't heard, Amazon has, like, everything. So if you need anything, they have it. Check them out, pwtorch.com/Amazon. All right, let's go to area code 912. 912, you're up next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Michael from Georgia.
Hey, Michael, thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
I got a couple of things for the recent titles added in the picture now.
Yeah.
I don't like how all the titles look the same now, because if it's supposed to be a brand split, I think the titles should be unique if they're bound to that one brand, like the SmackDown tag titles or the Women's Championship or that. Because the only difference for it is just the color, and that makes me like, if they bring back a Cruiserweight Championship for Raw, they're going to be purple? I don't know. And my other thing is, when it comes Rumble time, are they going to choose which championship they want, or are they going to do that?
Bruce, I think they'll go back. Thanks, Michael. I think they'll go back to the Rumble winner deciding which champion he wants to face. That's what they did before. I think they'll do that again.
I agree.
Yeah. As far as the belts go, I think they should look different. I mean, I don't think you just want... it's weird. The SmackDown Women's title looks like the Universal Men's title, which is if they're going to make the belts look the same, I'm glad the women's belt doesn't look like some toy with a butterfly on it or a rose petal or something. I mean, at least it looks like a regular belt, or at least what is called what passes for a regular belt in WWE these days. I'm not as outraged as most people about the Universal title. I mean, it's not great, but I mean, it wasn't. If no one else had made a big deal out of it, I wouldn't have been going, how can everybody be okay with this title? It's hideous. It's just, I didn't get worked up about it, but I think that, like WWE often does, they're a little heavy-handed with ideas. And to me, a hint of red would have been fine. you know, do a regular front plate and then a red outline on the side plates. And that would have been enough. That would have said Raw without screaming Raw, Red Brand Raw, and get everybody upset. You know, I mean, I thought it was cheesy when Ultimate Warrior had a different colored leather belt depending on, you know, what tassel color was his favorite tassel that week wrapped around his arms. It doesn't seem as prestigious as it should. A hint of red, a hint of blue is to me, Bruce, better than just this glaring color coding of everything right now.
No, I agree with that, although I was sympathetic to Seth Rollins, and the time to object to it is not when two of the best wrestlers in the world are having an important match right in front of you.
Good point.
I think that everything Raw should have a theme and a way things look and a way things are produced and shot, and that's different from SmackDown. And I think by having the belts all have this generic look to them, I think that's a mistake. But I don't think it's a fatal mistake, but I do think it's a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
SmackDown belts should look like SmackDown belts. And they should all kind of have they should all have something of a different look where you immediately pick up on that's the SmackDown tag team belt, and that's the that's the women's title, and that's the SmackDown, and all that. I don't think they thought all that
I would have rather
it's more work.
Let's not pretend that it isn't WWE Raw and WWE SmackDown. You know, this isn't, they are still right under the auspices of one governing body, one logo. So I don't feel as strongly as Michael about, the belt should look a lot different. I mean, I'm okay with the idea that, hey, we have separate rosters, separate brands, they look different. But the belt maker, he's the same guy. I mean, I don't think that's a big deal. But I would, if you asked me to vote, I'd say make them look different. You know, I'd say make them look as different as the NWA belt and the WWF belt did in the 80s. But I don't feel super strong about it. What I don't like is the women's belt looking like a blue version of the men's universal belt. I just think that's kind of, it's just sort of confusing, and it just doesn't either make them look the same or make them look different, but
right,
have a parallel structure or not, it just feels a little random. We'll be back in 36 seconds. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. We invite you to vote in our SmackDown poll right now at pwtorch.com. Did you like tonight's episode? How would you rate it? Average or below average or terrible or above average or excellent? Right now among those five choices, number one vote getter, excellent, 67%. Above average.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but we only have six votes because James
is just that right?
Up. Yeah, but
oh, okay.
Bruce,
right.
Bruce, James just
about
put
to get really upset.
Let me finish my sentence. James just put the poll up, so
yeah.
We only have six votes. So if you disagree that it should be called excellent, you can be the seventh voter right now and give us a statistically significant number of votes. Ooh, Bruce, we have a seventh voter, and he voted excellent also. So we'll refresh that in a few minutes. Let us know what you thought of SmackDown. The poll will be up for the next few days. As for best match,
this is why I don't like polls.
This is why you shouldn't.
When they don't agree with me, when the results are not the same as what I think, this is why.
Well, Style Ziggler has got 100% of best match votes right now. So, go check that out. And if you're listening to us on demand, go to pwtorch.com on your phone or your computer and vote. And you can also see the latest results of voting. A lot of cool stuff over at pwtorch.com right now. Some details on that fictional fine for Brock Lesnar. Full report on the Raw TV rating, which was up, as you would expect. You can find out how up it was and how that fits into historical perspective. I'll be talking about that for VIP members on the Wade Keller Hotline in just a moment. Also, big news on Rey Mysterio Jr., an update on the concussion lawsuits with WWE and ex-wrestlers involved in that one. Also, the signing of Bin Wang, the big Chinese star that they mentioned on SmackDown tonight, who will be making his debut on September 10th, I think it is, when WWE debuts in China. Plus some notes on the Cruiserweight tournament. That's just the left column, which is all the news. We also have a middle column with live results and TV results and house show results, and a right column, which is editorial content. You can also check out our Raw poll. Bruce, how do you think Raw did last night in our poll?
Medium.
Yeah, it did medium. It's all
mediocre.
33% said it's average, and almost an exact number of people gave it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So, real mixed thoughts on that, and that's understandable. SummerSlam.
Interesting, yeah.
SummerSlam was similar in that regard.
Yeah.
In terms of the votes. All right, well.
I've gotten yelled at by Sean Radican for liking that show as much as I did. You know, I bring that up. There's a very mixed reaction to it.
SummerSlam, you're talking about?
SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah. No, the last I looked, which was yesterday, it was almost an equal vote for all five options. I mean, and you know, when Steve Austin asked me at the top of the show, and again, we lost the first 10, 15 minutes of the show, unfortunately. So in my mind, I know what I said, but I don't know what aired, what made it to the show and what didn't in my head. But I know at one point I was talking to Steve, and you know, he asked, you know, about SummerSlam, and I was, you know, how do you rate it? And I was like, well, there was enough good to give it an 8, and there was enough bad to give it a 2. And it really comes down to, do you just average them out and give it a 5, or do you say the good stuff was more important and it deserves acclaim, or do you say, you know what, the bad stuff was pretty bad, and that's going to be my score. I mean, not every show was like that. I think SummerSlam was one of those shows, Bruce.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think what happened with Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, I don't think I've ever struggled with trying to figure out what I think about something as much as I have about that, because I have really negative feelings about the consequences of it, but I have really positive feelings about how dramatic it was, what kind of tone it set, and what they could do with it down the line. And I've been struggling ever since I watched it. And so then I think that, you know, it was so different that people, you know, the people are angry and angry at Brock, and just it was a whole different, more sports-like, more old wrestling tone than they're used to. And I think some people looked at it and went, that sucks. And, you know, or my favorite, which was, it's a non-finish, which I was like, I have never seen a more decisive finish in a wrestling match.
You know what? I will say,
Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton.
They should have, though, Bruce, had the referee announce a TKO and then call the doctor into the ring. I thought it took too long to get around to the TKO.
Yeah.
There was more bleeding than they expected. The ref was like, oh, crap, do I call in the doctor or do I go with the planned finish, which was probably going to come 4 seconds later? And I think it got botched a little bit. I haven't confirmed that, but I've had it hinted – more than hinted to me that was the finish, but it didn't go off quite exactly how they hoped. And I think that's where some of the confusion is, especially – back-to-back when you had the Rusev Reigns match right before it. I think there was less tolerance for an ambiguous finish.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with Big E earlier. You know, they weren't clear about, even Steve Austin was asking me, what was the finish of that match? He's like, I don't even know. You know, and I'm like, well, I don't.
John Stewart ruined it. That was the finish.
No, it was just stupid. I ranted about that, obviously. Did I belabor the point? Or both?
No, he sucked. You were fine.
Okay, good.
He sucked. He deserved it.
All right. 614, you're up next. State your name and the city you're calling from. 614.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we can. Yep, go ahead, 614.
This is Enzo Ramai calling in from Columbus, Ohio. And there's two things I want to go over tonight. I'm going to try to make it quick so you guys can have more time to the other callers.
Thanks.
One thing I would like to say is that Dolph Ziggler, to me, he seems like he's the main man on SmackDown. Before it was brand split, Dolph Ziggler was really more kind of like, you know, a nobody on Raw. You have all these talent that's more talented than he is, and that's being pushed than he is. Now, since this brand split is happening, Dolph Ziggler is kind of like on the run. They're actually giving him a chance. What I am going to say is that they need to make him to turn heel, because he has been he has been given an opportunity before the brand split when John Cena had an open mic challenge for the United States Championship. He had been given an opportunity, but the WWE don't want him to win. It's like Dolph Ziggler has been cheated from the IC and from the U.S. titles.
Okay.
Now, I think if he turns heel, I think it'll be great because now it seems like the WWE has no choice to push him. And the last thing I want to say is about The Miz. The Miz is, he's talented as hell in the ring and on the mic. He has been given a shot and became the WWE champion when he first, once he broke up from the Dirt Sheet. He has been the most hated WWE superstar during his push when he became the WWE champion. Now, since he's been on the mid card, they never gave The Miz an opportunity to become the WWE champion again. And
we're short on time. I got your topics. I want to get to Bruce when we have we have time. Bruce, real quick. Ziggler, he's become gotten a much more of a push since the roster split. How do you grade his performance given the slot that he's been put in? And I know it'll be easier in retrospect a month or two from now to look back and go, okay, if that's where he was headed, you know, it's a little easier to grade it. But your thoughts so far on his performances. And then part two, Miz, and should he be elevated to a more serious spot?
Dolph Ziggler, I think, has been excellent in what they've given him to perform, and he's done a great job with it. He's changed up his look. He's changed up, you know, how he acts. I mean, his acting, his body language, and he's been more aggressive in his matches. And where they're going with his story, we'll see. But I think that, you know, whether the story is, you know, satisfies fans or not, he's been good. He's been really good. So I've got no problem with that. As far as Miz, Miz does a great job at being a mid-card, you know, intercontinental champion with Maurice, and delusional and kind of funny in a way that he doesn't see it. And, you know, you got to have mid-card acts in a three-hour show, and he's good at it. I think if he goes to a championship level, I mean, to a WWE championship level, on Raw, that that would be a mistake if people see him and they like him in the role that he's in. They'll resent him again if he's pushed too far up the card. He's doing a good job. Let him stay.
Is there a way to ever get Miz back to in a more serious role?
I don't think so.
Bruce, let me rephrase it, because of course the answer is no in a way, because he's become such a characterize his type of character, but can you take the character he plays and not make him more serious, but have him actually move up the card? And heck, he's IC champion, but we know the way they treat him, that it's not like this prestigious IC title reign. Is he someone who will stick around long enough and they'll be like, you know what? We're going to give him a world title shot. You know, we're going to move him to a pay-per-view main event again. Or is that really in the past and he's more of a role player?
I think he's more of a mid-card player.
Yeah.
I think he's a good one, and I think that, you know, I think he's miscast at the top of the card, and I think he seems to be comfortable where he is, and he's got a good chemistry with his wife, and I think that's what they'll do. I mean, is it possible that he gets more wind under his sails and makes it to the main event or gets a championship shot at some point in the era of the WWE Network? Maybe, but I really would be surprised. I mean, at least now, I mean, he was really being rejected by the crowds in mid-card. He wasn't doing very well, and now he's much more comfortable and he's doing a much better job. So I think that Miz will be someone who will be appreciated as his career moves forward, and, you know, and as an important part of this time in WWE. But I don't see him as a main eventer anymore. He was a failure as a main eventer. Now he's a success. So
yeah, that's a good way to
keep him where he's a success.
Yep, I agree. Bruce, did this hour seem to go by faster or slower than on Fridays when you host?
The fact that I'm not punching buttons and irritating myself by doing something dumb helps. So yeah, but on the other hand, I think people would agree that Friday is the flagship of the live cast.
Well,
now.
It's the end of week flagship, but the midweek flagship can only be on Wednesday.
Well, I said up the whole week. I didn't say the end of the week.
Yeah.
You said the end of the week.
Well, that's up to you. You can call it what you want. Speaking of which, the midweek flagship tomorrow, Sean Radican joins you. We're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown, but we're also going to talk and SummerSlam, but we're also going to talk about NXT TakeOver, big picture stuff, and get Sean's opinion on some of the hottest free agents that WWE hasn't signed yet, maybe some insights into why they haven't, and kind of compare the rosters of a whole class of wrestlers from the indie scene who gained fans' respect. And one of the themes I want, or one of the main topics of tomorrow's show, what I want to get to, is getting Sean's insight on who he's most surprised at getting the push that they've gotten in WWE or elsewhere, TNA, ROH, and who he thinks got more of a push than he anticipated, and some who are getting less opportunities or have made it less far than they anticipate. So Sean's a great guy to talk to about that. You'll learn a lot from Sean. I always do when I talk with him. Join us tomorrow at 1 Eastern, midday, 1 Eastern, for the Wednesday live cast, and then Thursday, Sean Waltman will be my guest. Every single day I do the Wade Keller Hotline, and that now includes doing my in-depth rundown of Raw on Monday nights and SmackDown on Tuesday nights as soon as this live cast goes off the air. We also have the Bruce Mitchell audio show, where Bruce and I, for about 2 hours, talk about big picture topics in wrestling and history, mostly current events, but when it's called for, Bruce is as good as it gets at talking about history with a point of view, cutting through the crap, and putting a lot of things in perspective. You'll learn a lot. It is a very valuable part of a VIP membership. The Fix with Todd Martin is normally midweek. This week we did it on Sunday because, although I didn't post it till Monday, it was such a busy day, but it went up earlier than normal this week, covering all the weekend events up until SummerSlam. And then Bruce, Todd, and Pat McNeil joined me on Sunday night for the post-pay-per-view roundtable that was VIP exclusive, where we spent an hour and a half running down SummerSlam. So much comes with a VIP membership, and we will close with some details on what comes with a VIP membership. It is, by the way, iTunes-friendly, podcast-app-friendly. Once you sign up, you get a password, and it works with many popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android and iTunes, or you can just stream it right from our ad-free VIP mobile website, which is pwtorchvip.com. Nearly 30 years of archives of insider knowledge. If there's been a big story in wrestling, we've covered it inside and out. And when you go VIP, you get access to those Pro Wrestling Torch newsletters with the cover stories and the Bruce Mitchell columns and roundtable analysis, major Torch Talk interviews over the years with pro wrestling's biggest names, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, on and on, Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette, going back to the early 90s, Mick Foley in his formative days, and more recently. Really cool stuff. You'll just get lost in the archives. You'll never be bored again as a pro wrestling fan. Over 75 audio shows per month that are VIP exclusive, including the ad-free live casts. Bruce, thank you very much for being here as a co-host. We'll have you on again, hopefully, down the line here in a few weeks.
Enjoy it.
Excellent. That's Bruce Mitchell. You can hear him also every Friday on the PW Torch livecast. As I said, here is some more details on one aspect of the VIP membership I didn't talk about, which is a really popular feature, our vintage radio shows. We've got the Pro Wrestling Spotlight show from the early 90s, and Jim Valley, his radio show during the Attitude Era, along with my KFAN Pro Wrestling Focus radio show. We've got hundreds more to post that are coming up in coming months and years, to be honest. It's going to take a long time to get these posted. Every month, more of them go up, and here's some details on that. Thanks for joining me, everybody, and VIP members, stay tuned, because I'm about to record my in-depth SmackDown review. I have a lot more to say. I took notes during the show on some topics that I want to get in-depth on in the Wade Keller Hotline for VIP members. Thanks to our callers, including those who stayed on hold and we didn't get to you. We'd do a four-hour show if we got to everybody, and that's just not feasible. But thanks to the ones we did talk to, and thanks to those who patiently waited on hold. Call tomorrow if you can, or else if days don't work for you, call Friday with Bruce and his co-host this coming Friday. As a PW Torch livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership.
Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. All right, thank you everybody for joining me today. Tomorrow, 1 p.m., Sean Radican joins me, 1 Eastern, and then on Thursday, Sean Waltman makes his long-awaited return to the PW Torch live cast. Join us for both of those shows, and we'll talk to you next time.